on this week's episode of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors. Centres on how Mikey Johnson could have swapped the English Midlands for the beaches of Rio de Janeiro. Yes, Republic of Ireland winger Mikey Johnson was on the verge of a move to one of the biggest clubs in Brazil in Flamengo. But why did it fall by the wayside? Find out in this week's episode of Sliding Doors, coming to you free each and every Monday. Subscribe in your OTB football podcast feed to not miss an episode of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors.
Comfort. We're here at the launch of Women in Sport Week, kicking off next week. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It's an exciting time to be a woman in sport, being a woman in sport in Ireland,
yeah.
Especially kind of in the athletics scene.
Definitely. I think, look, we're very lucky in athletics. We've always had a sense of gender parity. When you turn up to watch one, you watch the other. And that's something that we've always had as a privilege. And I suppose for me as a para athlete, that struggle has always been about trying to get para athletics on that same level. And I suppose this whole week is about bringing the same energy. Like when we're talking about Women in Sport Week, it's like, let's bring the same energy to the women's game that we do to the men's. Let's bring the same energy to every level. It's not just about high performance. It's about grassroots. It's about officials. It's about fans, coaches, everything, that we want to see women everywhere in sport, not just at the top. And I suppose we've been so lucky to see a huge, like you were saying, that big growth spurt of huge success at the top. And I suppose in an Irish athletics context, we have seen amazing results from relays to individual results, like the sprinting scene especially. It's just like everything is getting faster and faster, and that's so exciting because it's pushing everybody on. And with national championships this Sunday, I'm very excited to see how everyone goes.
I know you'd mentioned before that maybe Jason Smith was someone who you would have looked up to initially. Mm-hmm. Is it pretty special now that there's a female athlete in that position that younger girls would be able to look up to? It's not just a male-dominated space.
Yeah, it does kind of feel weird because you're like, oh, I could possibly now be the person that Jason was to me. But I'm also like, that's a huge privilege as well to be in that position. It means like I've had the opportunity to go after my dreams and chase them and be successful in going for them. And I hope that does set an example for other young girls, that like there's nothing that stops them. There's no reason you can't go for things. And I suppose like being able to have women in those spaces as well for young people is really important, that it's not just men who can do that. The girls can do it just the same, you know.
And I know a lot of the studies that come out say that sometimes a lot of even younger girls, they drop out of sport because they don't find things that are interesting for them, or like the conventional training sessions don't suit them. And
yeah,
I know you like to bring a lot of like flair of your personality. You've a degree in fine arts.
Yes.
Is there something there that we can work on, maybe just to say like sport doesn't have to be this very binary thing?
100%. And I think that's what's really important. I think it's what's really cool about athletics. I think it creates this opportunity for us all to show ourselves, that like when everybody lines up, you can get a sense of someone's personality. Maybe it's the way that they kind of act in front of the camera, or maybe it's their hair, their nails, you know, something that there's like a little touch of personality about how people present. And I think for me growing up in sport, I could see people dropping out because they didn't feel a space really represented them, or they didn't feel like it was a space for them. And I think that's the big joy about women's sport, is that you want to create space for everybody. Like, okay, if team sports aren't for you, there's so many individual sports. If kind of being this one thing doesn't fit your box, like make a new box for it. And I think even watching the Winter Olympics has been so exciting. Like I think watching Alyssa Liu for me was really like how I felt about sport recently. It's just that like when you turn up as yourself and you show up as yourself, you show up as the strongest athlete, because you're happy, you feel autonomy over what you're doing. And I think that's a really strong example to set for so many young women in the sport, that if you don't fit the box that you see, make a new box and go for it.
I know you spoke about starting to train in Tala in 2024, and maybe like making them aware of like some of the steps that you'd have to take as an athlete, counting down the steps from the road to the track, and how when they were removed you had so much more energy to focus on your own running. Is that something maybe we need to look at with younger girls, that they're the things that we need to take out of their mind?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's actually a really nice example, that I feel there was all of these things that I was spending time and energy on at training that were taken away from my performance. And I think that's the same for so many women in sport, that there are all of these elements and these things at play that you're turning up to play your sport or to get involved with your sport, but there's this stuff that's going on in the background. And if we can help to eliminate that stuff or make that stuff easier, that's ultimately going to free up that energy to enjoy the sport, to get engaged with it in a more meaningful way. And I think I actually really love that. It's a lovely idea to think about, like making that space for people and making people feel comfortable. And I think it's not just about making things equal, it's about making things equitable. It's like, okay, what do different people need to be able to access this in the same way, or what does everybody need to succeed? And I think that's hugely important in women's sport.
And you'd probably see that as well yourself, wanting like the para events to be joined as well. We see that with nationals coming up as well at the weekend.
Yeah, like absolutely. And I think that's my huge push, and I'll continue to be a pain to everyone until I get this as far as I can take it. But it's just, I think showing people that para athletics is athletics, when they have the opportunity to see para athletes who are some of the best in the world, that's when people get that opportunity to really like click in. And so for me, like competing at nationals, you know, most people at nationals don't have a disability, but there are a number of para athletes there. So having that moment to highlight that those athletes are here and they're competing at that level, that they're pushing to be competitive, making it through the rounds and towards medals, it's exciting for people to see. I think it's a great example. But I think it's also exciting that there's kind of more momentum towards it internationally and on the global scene, of trying to get more of those mixed classification races included in the big diamond leagues, the continental tours. We're going to have one here in Morton Games this year, which is really exciting as well, to have like international women from across the world who are the best in the world at different classifications all here in front of people to see. I think that makes a big difference, and that visibility is something that we just know matters. Like, we know the visibility for women's sport is important. It's the same with para sport, and for me those two things, they go hand in hand, and intersectionality is not something you can ignore when it comes to this.
If we can take a look back at 2025, did you envision that it was going to be such an unbelievable year for you? Could you feel it at the start? Was it something that was kind of coming for a while?
I don't know, it's hard to say. Like, I think you, as an athlete, you kind of always set these mad goals for yourself. You kind of always have to be like a little bit delusional, like, I'm going to run this crazy time, I'm going to win these crazy medals, because that's how you go after it. I think if you settle in and you feel comfortable in training and you think, oh, I'd be happy enough with this or that, that's where complacency comes in. And I just don't think being complacent or comfortable in what you're doing gets you those results. So I think for me, there had been the move in the training group, and that had put me out of my comfort zone, and that's why I'd done it, and I wanted to work somewhere where I would be challenged. And I think for me, my focus initially was just on that. I was sort of like, I have big goals and big ambitions, but I can't get swallowed up in them. I need to be present in what I'm doing now. I need to be present in every session. It's not just about thinking about what's there. It's about, that's always in the background. I always, you know, when I'm dying at the end of the session, that's my why, you know what I mean? I'm happy to hurt and put in the work, because I don't want the same outcomes as everybody else. I want these big goals for myself. And so I think being present in those sessions can really help you work hard. And I think for me, I knew I wanted a lot, and then for everything to click and come together was just like so special and surreal. It's the stuff of dreams, you know, you spend your life dreaming of them, and then when they actually happen, it's just, yeah, it's such a privilege.
Can you describe how it felt in those, I suppose, those two gold medal moments in New Delhi?
Yeah, oh, it was so surreal. I think the first one, it felt like a relief, you know what I mean? The 100 is my event, it's what I'm looking towards LA in, and it's really the event that I feel like I am strongest in. It's where I have the most potential, I think. And so when I came across the line and won that had been written down in every journal and every goal and every book, was the gold medal in that. And so like, that just, not only did it feel like this big relief, it was just this like outpouring of joy, and like, I can't believe I've done it. Like, do you know what I mean? To have worked so hard and for that to have paid off, because sport isn't fair. Like, the person who works the hardest doesn't always get what they deserve. Like, that's not how sport works, and there is that little bit of luck involved. And I think it's not good luck that you won a medal, it's good luck that everything you did came together at the right time, that every decision you made, you know, it compounded and it all worked out at the right time of the year. Like, the Brazilian girl who was second had run a world record earlier in the season. and that everything had come together perfectly for her earlier in the season, but it didn't come together at the right time for Worlds. So I suppose there's that kind of element of like understanding in your sport when you want to peak, trying to get everything right for a specific time, and that's really, really hard to do. So to have been able to do that along with my coach and my team was, yeah, it was really rewarding. And then to go into the 200 with that confidence just, I think, lifted me massively and was kind of that push I needed for the 200. And then when the 200 was done, everything was done, so I could actually celebrate and be like, oh, this is done, this has happened, it's all sinking in. Like, I suppose after the 100, you're still looking towards the 2, so you were kind of like, I have to stay focused, stay in the game here, can't run away with myself. And yeah, it was really exciting.
And you mentioned LA there.
Yes.
You've gone full-time athlete this year.
Yeah.
You were working in the Irish Museum of Modern Art?
Yes, I was.
How are you finding the transition to being full-time?
Do you know what? I'm really enjoying it. I suppose for me, it was a real... I loved working and I really liked having that creative outlet and that space, and I love the people I work with and everything. But I suppose for me, being full-time allows me the opportunity to, like, last minute, if there's a race opportunity comes up, I can take it. I don't have to manage things with work. Just even the piece around, like, training times, recovery, all of that makes such a huge difference. And it allows me to do more of this kind of thing and more opportunities to speak about parasport to school students, to the media, all of that kind of stuff. And so it's been a real privilege, and I've really been enjoying it. Yeah.
And we can catch you this weekend?
Yes, you can catch me this Sunday in the 60 meters.
Orla, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate so much that. Thank you.